Going to be here in the New Testament in the book of Romans, and we will be looking in the 10th chapter and be kind of starting out about halfway through this chapter down in verse number 12. I'm going to grab my bottle of water here real quick while y'all are turning there, because I can already tell my throat's a little dry and I'm already getting a little raspy, and that's not good when you're starting the message. It's all right when you're ending the message, but when you're starting, you don't want to have a raspy voice. So y'all pray for me tonight. The Lord will help me get my voice back. Amen. Some of you are going to be praying, Lord, take His voice from Him. But the rest of you, pray even more. Let's counteract the other prayers. Amen. But Romans chapter 10, really the book of Romans as a whole, is one of the most important books in all the Bible. And I would certainly not say, you know, one book in the Bible is more important than any other, but they do serve different purposes on many occasions. And the book of Romans is actually the doctrinal book in the Bible on the subject of salvation. Now, oftentimes you'll find various cults, various heresies, various denominations that will go into books like Matthew and Acts and some of the other books of the Bible, and they will distort the words of the Lord in those books to try to build a plan of works salvation. But what's so good about the book of Romans is it destroys all that. Romans makes it 100% clear that we are all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all equally unable to save ourselves, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves those that believe. And so Romans is the great book in the Bible that lets us know why we need to be saved. It lets us know how to be saved, and it lets us know what happens on the inside when we do get saved. Amen? And so I love Romans, and I'm thankful that the Lord gave us this book of the Bible. It'll straighten you out real quick on salvation if you'll pay attention to it. So I want you to look here with me, Romans chapter 10, beginning down in verse number 12. And the Bible says here, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You, Lord, for these precious verses that we've just been able to read tonight. And Lord, I know that every part of this Bible has been inspired by Your divine breath and Your divine hand. And Lord, I know that every part of this King James Bible is perfectly preserved and perfectly given here in this language that we can read and study and preach from. But Lord, I just want to say how thankful I am specifically tonight for these precious words we find here in Romans chapter 10. Lord, I'm so thankful for the day in my life that You got a hold of my heart and You showed me my need of salvation. And Lord, I'm so thankful that when I called on Your name, You kept that sweet promise that You would save me if I'd simply call on Your name. Now, Lord, bless tonight. I'm thankful, Father, for Brooklyn coming to Christ. Lord, I'm thankful for all You did on Sunday in stirring my heart and stirring the heart of our church. But Lord, I pray once again You might do it tonight. Lord, we are leaky vessels. We need You new and fresh every single day. And so Lord, I pray tonight You'd draw us into Your presence. I pray You'd speak to our hearts. And oh Lord, that You might fill us and stir us, that we might better serve You as we go through the coming days. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You know, I got to thinking this week as I was studying this passage, praying over what God would have me to preach, and I got to thinking about the subject of communication. You know, the truth is that we live in a very special time, a very interesting time. We are living in a day and age where there are dozens of different ways to get a hold of somebody. If you want to, you can pick up a phone and you can text somebody or you can call them even if you can't get in touch with them. You can leave them a message so that they can get back in touch with you. If you don't want to use your phone, All you have to do, you can go on the internet and send them an email, or you can send them maybe a message through Facebook or Twitter or one of those other things out there. But there are literally dozens of different ways you can get a hold of somebody if you want to get a hold of them. Amen? And it occurred to me it wasn't always that way. You know, there was a time there early in man's history, a few thousand years ago, where if you wanted to get a hold of somebody, you had to make a journey. You had to walk a ways to go talk to them face to face. Then before too long, some ingenious person came up with something like smoke signals or something like that, and they determined that they could send a message across great distances just by using that particular method. Well, just as things go, that didn't last very long either. There finally came a time in man's history where they determined they could pay somebody to take a letter or take a parchment to another part of the land. And even in the modern times that we're living in today, we have seen the invention of the telegraph, we've seen the invention of Morse code, we have seen the telephone and even the cell phones that most of you have in your pockets and in your purses here tonight. And as I mentioned to you before, it's pretty easy nowadays to, one way or another, be able to get a hold of somebody or someone if you so choose. But the truth of the matter is, I believe oftentimes we are so enamored with getting a hold of one another and getting a hold of other people that we don't ever get a hold of the most important one. And that's the Lord Himself. See, the truth is that as Bible-believing Christians, as children of the Most High God, we ought to never have a breakdown in the communication that we have with Him. There ought to never be a day where we do not pray without ceasing, where we fail to get a hold of Him in the prayer closet. And yet there ought not to be a day where the Lord doesn't get a hold of us and convict us and comfort us and strengthen us for the coming day. What I'm saying to you tonight, friend, is that you and I, as God's people, we must have open lines of communication between us and our God. And what I see here in the verses that we've just read is an explanation of how the Lord gets a hold of people. How He gets a hold of young and old, male and female. How He's gotten a hold of people throughout all the generations of history. He tells us here in these verses. And so tonight I want to take that thought, and I simply want to preach to you on that subject, how God gets a hold of people. How God gets a hold of people. Now I realize tonight that most of us in here, we know how to get a hold of God. The truth is that whether you actually get a hold of Him or not, whether you take part in it or not, most everybody in here at least knows how to get a hold of God. You know how to pray. You know that if you would pray, that you could enter into that throne room. The Bible said, boldly come before the throne of grace to find mercy to help us in time of need. Amen. And yet, I'm not talking to you tonight about prayer. I'm not talking to you tonight about our talking to God, but rather, how does the Lord go about getting a hold of us? See, I believe there's a lot of people, some of you even sitting in this room tonight, that you often think to yourself, why does the Lord not speak to me? Why does He not give me some sign or some indicator to let me know I've made the right decision, to let me know that I'm going the right way? Why, Lord, why don't You show me what You'd have me to do? Why don't You speak to my heart and lead me? When in fact, the Lord has done just that. The truth is that if we understand how the Lord gets a hold of people, then I believe we can often hear from Him on a daily basis. Amen. And so I want to look here at how the Lord gets a hold of us. I want to say first of all tonight that the Lord gets a hold of people first and foremost through the words of the Bible. He gets a hold of people through this exact book that I'm preaching to you from tonight. If you look there in verse number 16, He says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" You know what that brings a picture of to my mind? Anybody in here ever have to do a report back when you were in school? You know what a report is? A report is where you go to somewhere else. Maybe you go to an encyclopedia, or you watch a documentary, or you read a book, and then you take it and you write down the information that you've received from someone else or somewhere else so that you can report on it to others. Amen. That's what a report is. And yet I believe that is exactly the perfect word to be used in that text. Because you know how inspiration took place with this Bible? The Bible said holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Lord was the source, but He used men to pin it down on the page. The Lord did the inspiring, but men gave the report. Amen. And that's what He said there in verse 16. He said, Isaiah said, that's speaking about the prophet Isaiah, He said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Well, you know what a report is. Report's that written document of what somebody else has told you. Amen. Can I tell you, I've got the report tonight. Amen. I'm preaching from that report tonight. The very same thing that Isaiah preached from. The very same thing that Paul preached from and Peter preached from. I thank God tonight. I've got the Bible, the Word of the living God in my hand. Now, I'm getting somewhere with this. I'm not going to get stuck there in verse 16. He said, who hath believed our report? And the Lord made a very important statement there in verse 17. He said, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the Word of God. You say, why is that so important? Because he's indicating to us that he's not talking here about God's spoken Word. He's not talking here about the Lord speaking to us audibly or, you know, coming and appearing to us in a vision or something along those lines. He makes it very clear in this text that when He said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, that He is speaking of none else than the written Word of God, the Bible that we have right here in our hands before us. Now, can I say to you tonight that the very first way the Lord wants to speak to you, the very first way that God will get a hold of you, is through the pages and the words of this precious book that I hold in my hand. Now, I believe oftentimes the reason that we don't hear more from the Lord is because we won't pay attention to what He's already said. See, I know a lot of folks say, well, Lord, I want to know what You've called me to do. I want to know what my spiritual gift is. I want to know what my calling is. And yet if you won't do the simple things God has already said, why would you expect God to ever give you anything more? You know something about my kids? I love my kids, but they're kids. Y'all got kids too. They're the same way. You tell them what to do, and what do they say? Well, I forgot. Well, I couldn't. Well, I didn't know you were talking to me. You know what? We can make fun of that and laugh about that all night. But you know, adults in here, you do that to God. I do that to God. He sits there and says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. He gets there in the New Testament and said, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. That's a command. Amen. And we say, well, you know, Lord, maybe. Or, Lord, I can't possibly do that. Well, Lord, surely you were talking to somebody other than me. You know that's not for me. And yet we expect God to speak to us. We expect Him to get a hold of us and communicate with us. Can I say to you tonight, He already has. He's put it in a book. He's placed it on the pages of that King James Bible. And if you have a King James Bible in your lap tonight, if you've got one sitting at your house tonight, then you have everything that God has said that you need to get through this life. You have all of God's Word that He needs to speak to you and that He required to speak to me. I tell you, I believe tonight the reason more God's people don't hear from Him and don't follow Him is because we failed to even begin to follow what He said in His Word. I want to say, first of all, tonight, the Lord gets a hold of us through the Bible. But can I say, secondly, tonight, that the Lord gets a hold of us through preaching? You say, well, preaching is from the Bible, so isn't that the same thing? Well, no, it's not. See, I believe in the first instance, we need to read and study, amen? See, that first point there means day in and day out, when you get up in the morning, when you lay your head down at night, you ought to be reading from this book. I think about the old Job and David back there. David said, I have esteemed thy word more than my necessary food. I tell you, what a statement. He said, I'd rather read the Bible, God's book. He said, I'd rather read that than eat my dinner. Amen. I don't know a Baptist that can hardly shout on that one, amen. He said, I'd rather get up in the morning and read from the Word of God and digest the Scriptures than I would get my breakfast. Oh me. That ain't an amen moment. That's an oh me moment. I believe that first statement is God speaks to us as we read and study and memorize and obey the Word of God. But I believe secondly tonight, as I mentioned to you a moment ago, I believe He also gets a hold of us through the preached Word of God. In other words, He uses preaching to speak to His people. And you say, preacher, I'm not so sure about that. You're kind of tooting your own horn. I mean, isn't it kind of funny that you're a preacher and you're telling us God speaks through preaching? I ain't saying it because I'm a preacher tonight. I'm saying it because it's in the book. Look there with me about verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That'd be a good one for you to memorize tonight, amen. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on in verse 14. And he says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what? Without a preacher. Now, can I say to you tonight, that ain't talking about me per se. Now, I'm involved in that. I'm included in that. But that ain't just saying that people can't hear without a pastor or without a lay preacher or without a missionary or without an evangelist. I believe what he's saying there is that anyone and everyone who would go forth and proclaim the gospel, you know what you're doing? You're preaching. Amen. Now, by the way, ladies, don't y'all get a little worried about this. The Bible still says woman not supposed to usurp authority over the man. He said, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. And I don't believe there's a single instance of a woman pastor or a woman preaching to a congregation in that Bible. Amen. But I'm going to say something might be a little controversial for some of you real quick. Ladies, that don't mean you can't go knock on a door and tell somebody about Jesus. That doesn't mean you can't go tell one of your coworkers the gospel. You know what you're doing when you tell them? You're preaching to them. Amen. So what I'm saying to you tonight, this ain't tooting my own horn. This ain't to glorify that pulpit. This is for all believers. And he said right there, he gives us a sequence. He says, how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? In other words, they can't get a hold if they don't believe. Amen. Then he goes on and says, but how can they believe if they've never heard? Hey, that's a good statement, amen. Yeah. Praise God, that's why we put missionaries out there. That's why we preach here three times a week. That's why we go out on Saturday mornings and tell people about Jesus. Because how shall they believe if they've never heard? Amen. But then he goes on another step. He says, here's the next part of the chain. They need to believe, but in order to believe, they need to hear. But in order to hear, you know what they need? They need a preacher. They need preaching if they're going to believe. You know what that just told me? That told me that the Lord gets a hold of people through preaching.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, you know what He said over there in 1 Corinthians? I believe, no, 2 Corinthians over there. He said that the Lord has seen fit to use the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I want to say to you tonight, I love preaching. I don't love just getting to do the preaching. I love hearing preaching. And I need to hear preaching. This is just a little bit practical, but I'll go ahead and say this tonight. Y'all know what I do. One of the things that you never really plan for, when the Lord calls you to pastor and puts you in a place of a pastor, you don't hear as much preaching. And it's something you're never prepared for. You don't think of that before you get ready to preach. They don't teach you that in Bible college. But the truth is, when you get up here and you're preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night most of the time, you're not getting to hear a lot of other preaching. And so you start to appreciate preaching all the more. Can I tell y'all what I do? Y'all may think I'm a little silly about this, but I tell you what I do. I like to go back there. I'm thankful for the internet in this regard. I like to get on there and hunt me down some old Bob Jones Sr. sermons and find me some old Lee Robertson sermons and Dallas Billington and Billy Kelly and Ed Ballou and Lester Rolhoff. Some of y'all don't even know who those fellows are. Y'all write down some of these names and look them up. Listen to them every once in a while. And I like to turn those things on, and maybe while I'm getting ready in the morning or maybe while I'm doing some chores or getting some laundry ready, I like to take that phone and maybe put in those earphones and put that thing on there. And while everybody else is listening to Top 40 radio and everybody else listening to the R&B and everything else, I'll tell you what I like to listen to. I like preaching. You say, why? Can I tell you why? Because most of the great decisions, most of the great changes that God has made in my life came through preaching. Can I say to you tonight, friend, I wouldn't be saved if somebody hadn't preached to me.
I wouldn't be called. I mean, I believe the Lord would have called me, but I might not ever answer that call to preach had it not been for a preacher who came and preached to me. I might not be standing here at Ball Road Baptist Church pastoring you folks if somebody hadn't preached to me. I might not be serving God, and I might not have my family in church, and I might not have gotten to baptize my children if somebody hadn't come and preached to this preacher. I'm saying to you tonight, God speaks to us. He deals with our heart. He gets a hold of us tonight through the preached Word of God. See, I tell you one thing. You miss out on God's message for you when you don't read this Bible. When you go a day, when you go a week, when you go a month without opening up the pages of this book and reading them, I'll tell you what you've done. You have failed to get God's message for you in that day or that week or that month. But you say, what about preaching though? Now the truth is, I believe tonight this message is for somebody in here. Maybe it's for me. Maybe it's one of you. Maybe you know this message is for you tonight. But the truth of the matter is that I believe God will lay the message on the heart of the preacher that the church needs. Do you know what that means? Just as you miss out on the message when you don't open your Bible and read it, just as you miss out on the message when you don't study that King James Bible, can I tell you something? And some of y'all ain't going to like it too much, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. When you, I'm not talking about when you're sick. I ain't talking about when you have to work. I ain't talking about when you're down in your back and everything else. I ain't talking about when your car don't start. But when you have to lay out so you can make it to the movie, or you lay out so you can do the family barbecue, or you lay out because you're just a little too tired and you know it was a hard work week. When you lay out, I'm telling you, you ain't hurting the preacher and you ain't hurting the rest of the church. I tell you who you're hurting. You're hurting you. You say, why? You're missing the message that God wanted to give to you. You're missing out on God speaking directly to you. You say, because why? Because the Lord uses preaching to get through to His people. The Lord uses preaching to get a hold of you. He uses the Bible to get hold of you. But can I say one last thing tonight? The Lord will use circumstances to get a hold of you. And maybe I should rephrase that and say it a little bit differently. If the Lord can't get a hold of you through the Bible, and if He can't get a hold of you through the preaching, He will get a hold of you through circumstances. Y'all got it tonight? I think maybe some of y'all might have bailed out on that. Let me help you out here real quick. If you won't pay attention to this book, and if you won't hear what God had to say from the pulpit, the Lord will get a hold of you in your own life, through your health, through your family, through your house, through your bank account, through your circumstances. You still got your Bible there with you? I'm about done. Look about verse 18. In verse 18, he continues this thought about how the Lord gets that lost man to hear, how the Lord gets His people to hear. He says, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? Now, I want y'all to get this real quick. Can I explain it for just a moment before we really... And I'm about done, I promise you. He spent this whole, all these verses, verse 12 through verse 17, he spent it saying, listen, if a man's going to hear from God, it's going to be through the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word, right? He said, and I'll tell you how God likes to do it. God likes to do it through preaching. That's why, how shall they hear without a preacher? That's what he said. But as he comes down here to verse 18, he said, but hold on just a minute. Haven't they already heard? Amen. Look at verse 19. Did they not know? Now he's speaking about Israel back there in the Old Testament. And this is what he says in verse 19. First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. He's telling you right there the way that he speaks when nobody will listen. See, what he told Israel back there in the days of Moses was this. if you'll keep my law, if you'll follow my commandments, if you will not transgress, I'll put you in the land that I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'll bless you beyond measure. I'll see that there's food on your table and a roof over your head. I'll bless every generation you've got. But, if you transgress my law, if you deny my word, if you turn against me and you break the covenant, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. He said, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to cause you to go out into captivity. I'm going to make a fool out of you. Do you see what he's saying here? Y'all still with me tonight? You getting it? What he's saying is, I spoke to them. Here's your example. Hey, church, here's your example. Look at Israel. I spoke to them. I literally wrote down the words on two big old stone tablets and gave it to them, and they didn't listen. So I sent prophets to them and preachers to them who preached and told them the truth and told them to repent and told them to serve the Lord with their life. But they wouldn't listen to them. And so now you want to know how they've heard? I can tell you right now they heard. That's what the Lord said there. He said, I'll tell you how they heard. Because everything I told them back there came to pass. I put them into captivity. I caused nations that were lesser than they to take them over to punish them. I want to make one thing very clear to you tonight. The Lord doesn't sit around thinking of ways to mess you up. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's the Lord's desire. Some of y'all in here, you've been parents. I think most of y'all in here, you've been parents. Do you want your child to fail? Do you want to punish your child? Not a bit. But have you had to punish them before? You had to whoop them. You had to ground them. You had to take the toy away from them. Why is that? You don't sit around all day going, I tell you what, next time he messes up, this is what I'm going to do. I don't do that. I don't think any good parent does that. But when that moment comes and they won't listen and they've done wrong and they need correction, you have to send it, don't you? Amen. I tell you what, I believe that's how the Lord is. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you're a son, if you're a child of the King, guess what? You're going to get a whooping from time to time. You're going to get a belt laid across your hind end from time to time, spiritually speaking. And I've seen it time and time and time again in my own life, in others' lives. I've seen it in the Bible. That if somebody will not pay attention to what God has said and what God is saying through the Word and through the preaching, He'll take it out through the circumstances. Amen. The health, the pocketbook, friendships, family, home, car. I can't tell you tonight whether the Lord's doing that to you, but I kind of have, this is my opinion on it. You ready? I kind of think you know. Truth is, the Lord probably ain't going to reveal to me and say, brother, I know this hadn't happened to you, so I'm just going to use you as an example, but your car breaks down tonight, the Lord ain't going to tell me, well, that happened to him because of this. But he might just let you know. Amen?
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 Amen.
If all of a sudden the roof caves in down at your place, all I know, I mean, I'm just the preacher, all I know is, you know, pray for you and maybe we can find somebody that knows something about roofing because I sure don't. But the Lord might come to you and say, I wish I'd listened. You might get down there and pray and say, Heavenly Father, I need you to fix this. Heavenly Father, I need you to help me out with this. And he might just use that moment to say, well, I was waiting to hear from you. I was waiting for you to get ready to listen. Here we go. We got to deal with a few things. Then we'll get that taken care of. Amen? Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about tonight? Y'all been there? I'm trying to help you tonight. I believe the Lord will speak to us through the Bible. I believe He'll speak to us through the preached Word of God. But I believe His last recourse is He will speak to us through our circumstances. Now, I don't know what your circumstance is, like I said before. I don't know what the Lord's dealing with you about. I don't know. Well, listen, I don't think every bad thing that happens is God's punishment on us. I don't believe that. I don't think that for a minute. Don't want you to take that out of this message. But I will say the God that I serve and the God of this Bible, He does speak. He don't speak the way we want Him to, usually. He doesn't come down and audibly talk into our ear or whisper to us or any of that craziness that some of these TV preachers would say. But I tell you what He does do. He speaks. He speaks through that Bible. He speaks through a pulpit. And He'll speak in your life through circumstances. Will you listen to Him? He's wanting to get a hold of you tonight. Will you listen to Him? Father, I thank You for the opportunity to preach Your Word. I thank You for the attentiveness of Your people. Lord, I pray You'll take this message, use it to convict us where it's needed. But Father, I pray it would also encourage us and comfort where it's needed as well. Lord, I'm so thankful that You're not a God who's far off. Lord, You're far off from this world. Lord, back when I was lost, You were far off from me. But oh Lord, I'm so thankful that through the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, You're not only near to us, You dwell in the very midst of us, dwell within our body. Lord, I'm so thankful for Your presence. I'm thankful tonight, Father, that You still speak to Your people and You still know how to get a hold of us. Lord, maybe there's some that hadn't listened to You in a while. Maybe there's some that have just grown cold and they turned a deaf ear unto You. Father, I pray tonight You'd get a hold of them. I pray that You'd speak to that heart. And I pray You would draw them unto Yourself. For it's in Jesus' name I pray and for His sake. Amen. Amen.